I'm Lex, she's Jen, and we are the Bachelorettes. Yes, we are back. It's been a minute, but we're back. We're back with a whole new format. We're not going to keep you too long. We're keeping it condensed. Jen can tell you a little bit more about what we about to do, but I'm so happy to be talking to y'all again. What's up?
Yes. Happy to be back at this new format. So you know how we have those episodes that are like 2 hours long, an hour 45, an hour 30. We're trying to keep our new episodes to less than an hour long. I know what you're thinking. This is crazy. This is crazy for y'all who talk so much, but we're working on it. We're trying to do a new format where it's about 40 to 45 minutes long. And we try to hit as many points as we can in different areas about like our lives, what we're watching, what's coming up, and some hot new news that's happening in the space. And today's a perfect day to record because there is so much shit happening in the world.
Yes. So where do we even start? Well,
I guess I will start just because I'm like super familiar with this topic as a labor union person. But I don't know if y'all know this, but the Writers Guild of America and the Screen Actors Guild of America are on strike. The Writers Guild has been on strike for over 4 months now, I think. And it's been over 100 days. And the actors just joined the strike fairly recently, last month, back in July. And so, of course, they're fighting for better wages and better protections from the studios. So they're fighting the AMPTP. That is like the Association of Motion Picture and Theater Alliance. So that's like television studios, like Paramount, you know, Netflix, whatever, movies. They're trying to fight all that stuff. So one important thing to note is that there are certain categories that are not covered by this. So if there's someone who's doing audiobooks, they're not striking. It's not the same thing. So you can be a member of SAG and also still record an audiobook. So I was worried about that as a romance novel reader, but don't worry, we're fine. So basically they're fighting for better protections and they've been out on the picket lines all this time. The studios have done some shady shit. I believe it was either NBC or Paramount that cut the trees outside their studio in California to stop them from picketing in front of the studio, including and also doing construction work. And the reason why this is important is because California tree law is very fascinating. The state of California owns those trees.
Right.
So you have to get permission from the government to cut those trees. And they did not do that. They claimed that they did have permission, but they did not. Mm-hmm. So now they're basically about to be sued for tampering with fucking trees. Just because you're trying to be strike busters. And we hate that. And on top of that, a lot of our favorite, I say are very loosely, social media people have been like, you know, content creators on TikTok, whatever. Some of them are scabbing. Some of them are bragging about scabbing, you know, like working on certain projects and promoting certain projects while the strike is happening.
So one thing
about scabbing to remember is that if you scab, you can never be admitted to the union ever. Even if you're not a member of it right now.
Right.
If you work on Struck Productions with Struck Studios, you cannot be admitted to any union.
Right.
So why would you fuck up your bag? Because you're dumb. And I'm looking at you, Straw Hat Goofy, because you're one of the main ones who are telling people to scab on the internet.
Who are you looking at?
Straw Hat Goofy. He was this like popular TikTok guy.
Oh.
And also was attacking black women as per his usual modus operandi. So just got to say, y'all, the strike had everything and they were very clearly like, listen, if you already have pre-existing contracts with these people, you are still allowed to work on them. If you get waivers from us to work on certain projects, you can still work on certain projects, but no new work. Like that's just kind of.
Right.
Because I'm sorry. I think it's unfair that actors and writers can't even clear $26,000 a year to get fucking health insurance.
That's the wildest part. So the wildest part of the strike to me is seeing just how much people have been making. And I think the craziest part is like a lot of these shows that we enjoy, that we really like, we really enjoy from like Netflix and all that are on Netflix and from all these studios, like these actors are getting paid cents. They're getting paid cents. And it's not even cents per stream. It's cents per like month, over months.
Like, listen, what's it? Kendrick Sampson says that he got $50 total from Insecure. and residuals from streaming, $50.
Oh my God.
Like, these people are getting checks for 3 cents.
Yeah.
They're getting, and they have to wait till it adds up to whole dollar amounts. All I have to say is pay the fucking writers, pay the actors.
Because remember,
pay everybody. Everybody needs to get their money. And as a result of this, I think it was announced today that the hairdresser, I think the hairstylist or whatever in the UK are also going to unionize. They're talking about going on strike. And there's a lot of shit that's happening. It's a hot labor summer. Because I could go into a lot more details about other labor actions taking place around the world, but I won't. I just want to let you know that strike like this, it's happened in 2007 when the writers went on strike. It means more reality TV show programming. So you're going to see a lot more stuff popping up.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling this is why The Golden Bachelor is even happening in the first place. Just saying.
Yeah. You know, finally, after 5 million years, they casted a bachelor. They casted a Golden Bachelor.
And his name is Jerry. And he's 72. He turned 72 yesterday.
Wow. And I'm so surprised they casted someone like in their 70s. I was certain they were going to go for like 40s, 50s. But yeah.
They can't go 40s. That would be literally like Ari. Ari was like already, I think, above almost 40 when he was The Bachelor.
Yeah. But like for them, that's old.
Fair. Yeah. But yeah. So they've casted the senior bachelor and we're proud of them, I guess. But like I said, look out for more reality TV show programming as your favorite TV shows are not going to be coming back this fall and maybe even not this next summer. It depends on how long the strike lasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, if the longer like filming's delayed, production's delayed, editing's delayed, everything's delayed. So get ready for a hot girl. What'd you call it? Hot labor summer.
Hot labor summer. A red hot labor summer.
Red hot labor summer.
I will talk more about this on our Instagram stories or in a reel. I'll discuss more about what that means.
But in the meantime, y'all know what we got to discuss. We got to discuss that Montgomery bra, that Alabama Riverwalk bra. So if y'all haven't seen this by now, honestly, like the first time I watched this video, I opened it up, right? And I just saw this security guard getting basically his ass beat, right? By a bunch of white people. And so I closed the video. I was like, I don't need to watch this. Immediately when I see that, I'm like, I don't need to watch it. I don't need like, you know, shock. What do you call that? Mm-hmm. I forget. But you know when you see shock something value so thing. Shocking? Yeah. And then you get angry. I'm like, I don't need that in my life. But then people kept talking about it. I'm like, okay, let me finish watching the video. I'm going to explain the video for the people who haven't watched it, right? So first you see the security guard getting his ass beat just for telling these white people they need to move their damn boat because they were parked illegally, right? They started beating the security guard. Then all these black people from all over were like, hell fucking no. They came to the security guard's aid. One jumped off the boat that they were on, swam to the dock just to whoop people's ass. Women got involved. There was a chair. It's a lot.
Listen, Aqualad is a 16-year-old boy, by the way. He's a 16-year-old boy is the one that jumped off the boat into the water and swam across there.
Y'all taking too long. I'm gonna get up there now. You know,
it was a lot. And just for background context, these particular white people do this all the time. Apparently, I'm hearing that something that they do all in terms of like parking where they're not supposed to park with their boat. Ugh. They do this all the time. So this is not the first time that they've been spoken to about this particular act.
Right. So it was coming. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but in the video, the security guard like throws his hat up in the air. I haven't seen the hat land to this day. The hat hasn't landed. Somebody got this folding chair, which was invented by a black man, by the way, and opened people's asses. People are also referencing this other video, not from the same location, but where this dude was like running from cops in the water and then his foot busted through his Crocs. Or the cocks are like halfway up his ankle. It's not the same video. It's a different video.
Oh, it's a different video.
It's a different video. But I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
Like, somebody was like, that's what happens when you forget to put the Crocs in sports mode.
Facts. If you had that secure strap on back, it wouldn't have pushed through like that, sir.
It would not have. You know, it would have been secure. The Crocs would have been secure. You know, it takes a lot to burst Crocs. Like, I don't know what he was doing.
Being stupid, running from cops. That's what he was doing. But that's what happens when people who believe they're above the law have...
believe they're above the law.
and have swift retribution for their actions, I guess you could say.
For me, the funniest part is that I literally do not see anybody feeling sorry for them. And that's kind of what I was expecting. Usually, like in these situations, there's always that one person who's like, oh, they're just people, like feel sorry for the white people. This time, literally everybody was like, yeah, Avengers, let's go. Like, you know,
the only people feeling sorry for white people were white people. And they were mostly mad that the white woman got hit with the chair. And it was like, if you starting to throw hands and fists and thing, what did you expect? Equal opportunity ass whooping.
Exactly, exactly. She was throwing hands too. What, like, you know?
I saw someone say, like, the reason why they're upset is because it challenges the age-old assumption that only white men are allowed to hit white women. And I was like, woof. Wow. Facts. Yeah. But also.
Right. Right. So, anyway, lesson of the day, folks. Don't start none, won't be none.
Won't be none, okay? We knocking if you bucking. We out here.
You know?
It's like time to bring back the N-Navy. If you were on Twitter at the time, you know.
Somebody said that. Somebody said that when the N-Navy reports for duty, like... Oh my God, y'all. I'm pretty much like taken almost a near permanent break from Twitter. But I would go back on just for this.
I'm sorry. Do you mean X?
X. Which, can you believe? I didn't even know until somebody was like, yeah, you know, on X and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, X. So I have a friend who's Xavier. I call him X. I'm like, X, how you know X? They're like, no, Twitter is now X. I was like, what? I feel like ever since I left Twitter, it's just become this like magical land where like anything's happening.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
I heard about the Elon Musk and Zuckerberg fight. And I'm like, is this real life?
Apparently not. We're living in a nonstop Onion article right now.
No, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's happening right now. That's exactly what's happening right now. Anyway, what else we need to hear, Jen? Other updates?
I'm going to give a lot of highlights at once, and we can decide if we want to go into it or not, okay? So I talked briefly about our golden bachelor, Jerry. We don't need to go any further than that. I could tell that he was somebody's grandpa based on how he held the video when he was recording his little thing for the Instagram, okay? I saw it. I was like, that's somebody's grandpa. He waited for his grandkids to come over and help him with that. He's a girl dad. It's a whole thing. So FBoy Island, as you know, was taken off of HBO and is now going to be on CW. So CW is airing the old episodes of FBoy Island, and they've also cast Katie as a lead for the new season. I don't know if you remember Katie, you know, Catherine, from Matthew James's season. Catherine Thurston, who was a bachelorette that should never have been a bachelorette. Yeah.
I still don't get the, like, she, for me personally, I don't get the appeal. She's not attractive. She's just like basic standard issue white woman. Like, why is she? I don't know.
I don't know. And someone was like, oh, well, you know, it will appeal to her brand. It's like she's starting to be like a comedy person, whatever. And I was like, y'all really be caring about her that much? I mean, I guess. Again, this is not saying that she's a terrible person, or I don't care about her as a person. And that is what it is. Was like, I care about her in the vague way I care about human beings who are not rapists and like murderers and like abusers and things.
Exactly. I keep forgetting she exists. Like, I'm just like, of all the people, why her? Like, there's so much more interesting, amazing people in the world, but you know.
They could have taken somebody from any of those Netflix reality shows and put them on FBoy Island, and I would have watched it. I would have eaten that shit up.
Right? Francesca.
Listen.
Everybody would have
went. She's engaged now, though. That's why. But I mean, like, it could have pissed a lot of people to do this. I'm just saying. So that's happening. The second thing that's happening is the Ultimatum season one, you know, the straight version, which really, why did they ever make this show straight after seeing the gay version? Shanique and Randall are engaged again. So happy for our black love couple of that season. Happy they came back from that. I love that they got back. They took the time apart. They got back together. They worked on it. And look at that. That beautiful, beautiful, happy for them. I see them modeling their Fashion Nova fits all over the Instagrams. They're like sponsored by Fashion Nova for real. I'm not just saying that. Like, they are. No need for shade. I mean that.
I was like, damn, that's shady. But no, they're
so okay. I genuinely mean that. They're sponsored by Fashion Nova. So I'm happy for them. In sad news, I guess if we're keeping it, well, actually, no, this is kind of, I guess it depends on how you view this. I don't know if anyone remembers Sean Booth. He was Caitlin Bristow's pick when she was the Bachelorette. He's having a baby, so I guess that's happy news. So shout out to him. At the same time, Caitlin and Jason have ended their engagement.
What?
Yeah, that just announced this week. And I was
like, it didn't register until just now. I was like, hold on, what?
Yeah.
Didn't they just get engaged?
Yeah, but I mean, they've been engaged for a little bit. They've been together for about 4 years because it's like pre-pandemic, I think, or like around that time they got together. Is it pre-pandemic? Wait, whose season was Jason?
I think they got engaged during the pandemic.
They got engaged during the pandemic, but they've been together since before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Jason Tatrick, for those who remember, is on Becca's season. He made it to, I think, the final three, and that was it. She just didn't even take him to the fantasy suite. She was like, this is nice, but not for me. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. So they are, you know, they are call it quits. Obviously, they have dogs together. They have a house together. They have a whole life together. So they've seemed to have been broken up for at least a month and have been trying to, like, deal with it before taking it public. And people in the public have obviously been speculating about this and kind of, like, guessed this. And we're kind of demanding updates. So Caitlin did an interview on Off the Vine talking about it, about, you know, how hard it is balancing being a public figure and trying to be liked with, you know, having private information. And y'all know what we share on this podcast is what we're open sharing with anybody. But Lex and I are not public figures in that way. We've never been on TV. Well, we mean we have, but like not like that.
Not like that.
So, I mean, it's just hard for us to kind of – it's hard for me to – feel bad for her about tapping into that people-pleasy vibes about commoditizing her life. And it's hard for me to feel bad because I don't think anyone deserves any kind of abuse online, which she was getting, and I think that's fucking stupid. But you are also someone who has grown and changed and gone through a lot, according to you, and has gone to therapy to work on this particular thing. And the parasocial relationship as it exists, people on social media, just means that they're always going to want to know shit because they know you from being public.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to draw that boundary for yourself. Yeah. And when you get caught up in saying, oh, I want them to like me, you want strangers on the internet to like you while you're grieving a relationship, I just don't quite feel bad for you having those feelings. But I feel bad your relationship ended.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Yeah, pretty much. Which I get, because for me, like, you know, when it comes to sharing my life with people, it's always like on my terms. You know, it's like always what I want to share on my terms. And so it's like I can't see anybody feeling bad for me if there's something that I don't want to share or that like I would usually share. And people are like, wait, why aren't you sharing? You know, it's like you got people used to a pattern. They're gonna expect the pattern.
And like I said, they shouldn't, because that's not your business. It's their personal life. But that's not reality. And the issue is like her feeling super bad about disappointing people by not sharing her heartbreak. It's just weird. And again, not shady, just weird. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, I feel bad for her. But
I feel bad for the breakup. I hope that they figure stuff out. I mean, they seem to have a lot of love for each other still, but I don't know. We'll see. In great news, though, you know, Bachelor in Paradise Canada ended finally a month ago. Yeah. And we saw that we had two engagements that came out of this that are still together. And shout out to the Black women who are a part of these couples. So Chelsea from Matt James' season. Was it Matt James' season that she was on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Okay. Right. And then Austin, who was on Katie's season.
I have no idea who Austin is.
Anyway, Austin, who's like a personal trainer, whatever, they ended up engaged at the end. They both came from the U.S. franchise. And then you had Tessa Tuch. Tessa was from either Blotton or I think it was Blotton season.
I don't know her.
Yeah, but I followed all the Black girls from that season. So like I know who she is. But yeah, mm-hmm. Ends up with Joey, who was on the Canadian Bachelorette.
So
Joey was from last season of Bachelor in Paradise. And so Canada. So it's kind of like, anyway, the couples are together. They're happy together. I think Tessa and Joey are happily engaged. Everyone's living their best life. So Chelsea and Austin have done podcast episodes about their relationship together already. I don't know. I think we should bring them on the show. I'm just saying, I think we should do like a special edition of the show and bring Chelsea or, you know, Austin or somebody. I don't know. I think so.
Yeah. Just saying.
Could shoot the shit. And then in other Interesting news. Nick Vile and his fiance are having a baby. That was announced this week, too.
Yay. Congrats to them.
Nick Vile and his child bride. Yeah. Shout out to them.
Oh, yes.
He's 42. I think she's 24.
Oh, Lord.
And Mike Flush has been relieved of the franchise. So
celebrate.
We're celebrating those things. So those are the quick tops of the time. Now we're into the meat of the episode. And by meat, I mean we're talking about like one or two things like consistently.
Right.
All right, Lex, what do you want to tackle first?
Geez, so there's so much we haven't spoken about with y'all that we have to talk to y'all about it. We have to, right? So we didn't get a chance to talk about Love is Blind season 4. So we can quickly like run through those couples, you know, talk our thoughts of the episode. Who we want to start with? Should we start with Zach and Bliss and Irina?
Yes. Okay. So Zach and Bliss, I thought they were going to get engaged straight out the pods. Not going to lie. Same. When he chose Irina, I was like, that conniving cunt. Her?
Same. It was like, but it wasn't necessarily her. It was like, Zach, what the fuck are you doing? Like, for me, it was like, dude, like, you wouldn't know a good thing if it sat on your face, dude. Like, what are you doing? It was like, you listen to Irina and you listen to Bliss and you say, yeah, I'm gonna go for Irina. And literally nobody else in the house likes this girl except for one person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, I'm gonna go for her. No. Mm-mm. I don't know. I feel like a producer told him to do it, honestly. I feel like
he had buyer's remorse right afterwards, though. Literally. I mean, when he met her, he thought she was super hot. But then when they were in, I think they went to Napa. They didn't go to Mexico, did they?
No, they went somewhere in California, yeah.
Yeah, so in California where they went, they went to Malibu. So in Malibu, he was realizing that, oh, this is exactly the person that Bliss told me that she was. this is not good.
Like, no. Yo, did you see when she saw him in person? She was kind of like...
Yeah, she was not pleased.
She was not attracted to him at all. She was just like, get, like... But she told him he looked like a cartoon.
She did tell him that. And I was just like, and you wanted to stay with her. Wow, that's wild. So upside is that after Malibu, you know, he and Bliss have a conversation and he and Bliss work things out and they get engaged and they get married at the end of the show. Yeah. And they're still together. I've checked. Yes. Zach and Bliss still going strong. And they're the right kind of weird for each other. And I support them. The little relationship.
Yeah, they definitely got on with each other. She was definitely the right choice from the beginning, but you know, they had to have some little drama, so they had a little drama with Irina, who was just a snake.
Yes. Speaking of snakes, let's go to Micah and Paul.
Yeah.
Because there is also drama with Irina when it comes to that as well.
Yep.
Because so Micah and Paul end up together and they're engaged and all this stuff, but they are clearly not matched. They're clearly not a match at all.
I think Micah was really trying to make it be a match. Like, she was not feeling it. I don't think she was feeling it like that in the beginning. But then towards the end, I can see that she was really trying. The only issue is that, you know, Micah and Irina were like besties, which means they're cut from the same cloth, you know? Mm-hmm. Which means, yo, when I tell you, okay, just side note, when I tell you this Love is Blind has been the most accurate representation that I have seen of white women. Yep. I'm so sorry to say that, but those are the white women I know, you know, the sneaky, conniving, like talk shit behind your back, smile up in front of your face, act like things are bad, but have nothing good to say about you. Those are the people that I have experience with. So when I saw this, I was like, yes, that's who they are. I'm so sorry if you're a white woman listening to this. I hope you're not like that.
Yeah, the white women who listen to us are definitely not like that. Just
but I was like, that's what I know.
And what made it super obvious that Irina didn't have Micah's best interest at heart was that she was flirting with Paul in Mexico. And Paul was not pushing her away. And I was like, this is just so... obviously, Micah and Paul do not end up married. I say obviously when it could have easily gone the other way. They do not end up together. But I just remember thinking this is like a huge thing. And Micah and Irina had a conversation. Micah was like, what the fuck? Like, what is this about?
Exactly. Yeah, Micah came to her as a woman. Like, bro, why were you flirting with my man? Like, and Irina was like, oh, you know, I just don't think. And Micah was like, yeah, cut her off.
Cut it.
Honestly, she was a much better person for cutting off Irina as a friend. Ooh, sorry. Yeah, I have to say that.
I agree. That's okay. I get you. And then, so since we're talking about white women, I want to go to Kwame and Chelsea. And the reason why I want to go there is because Chelsea is a down ass chick, right? She's a down ass chick. And she's just kind of like, my man, my man, my man. She was all about Kwame. And I was very unsure for a while because it portrays her as like super controlling. And it portrays him as also like very unwieldy because he's also Nigerian. I think he's Nigerian or something like that.
He's Ghanaian.
Ghanaian, right. My bad. I'm sorry to the Ghanaians. I'm sorry, Leroy. I didn't mean to misrepresent your people. I'm working off of memory. I'm not looking at any notes. And this show
neither of us have notes. This was so long ago.
So, and I was very unsure about their partnership at first because it kind of felt like she was trying to be really overbearing and controlling. But then I realized that I was painting her in a certain way because of how they edited him. Right? They edited him trying to make it like, oh, he's always appeasing everything that she does. And I was like, is he, or is there something that we're not seeing? And because I don't know any Ghanaian man who just sits there and lies down, takes stuff the way they made it seem as if he was doing it.
I feel like they were definitely making it seem a certain way to me. Chelsea seemed like one of those women who is just like, I don't care, let's get married. Like, I just need a man. I just need a man. I just need a husband. Like, and he was like, I didn't really believe his storyline of being standoffish. He's like, well, I live in Portland and all my life is in Portland and I have my friends in Portland. And it was like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, we're talking about the love of your life here. You're worried about like your football crew. Come on. Like, come on, you know, like, come on. And then there was just little things she was bringing up, like, oh, he's like messy. And it's like, but like, all men are, like, you know, yeah. Okay, not all, but like, these are like not issues. Honestly, though, I was surprised that they got married. I didn't really see them have like any real conversation. It was kind of just like, I want a wife, I want a husband. Okay, let's get married.
But they're still together. That's the wild part. They're still together. That's the
craziest part. When he said, I do, when they both said, I do, they both started like giggling. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know if you remember that, but they both started doing that like uncomfortable, awkward laugh. Like, I think they both weren't expecting the other to say yes. But then they both said yes. And it was like, I think that's when it hit them. Like, oh shit. We're actually married.
Yep, but they're married, they're still together. I guess we're going to see their after the altar coming up soon. Because of course it would already have been filmed because this, it's already been, I think, a year but since they got married.
Question for you and question for everybody out there. Do you believe that was Kwame's real family?
I've heard that multiple times. He's come online. He's like, that's his real sister. That his whatever. And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know either. I really don't know because I'm just like, I don't know. Because after living in Ghana, I was just like, there's no way in hell this would happen. Like, there's no way.
Maybe they're like super Americanized. Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know. I feel like he hired her. I feel like that was a hired actress.
not hired actress.
I really feel like she was a hired actress. I don't know, because something about it was a little too not authentic.
That's true. Lex has lived in Ghana, so she would know better than I would. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Okay. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. You know who I do not give the benefit of the doubt though? Jackie.
Jacquelina. No, definitely not.
Jackie. That Jackie Marshall Josh dynamic was just so bizarre. And I say it was bizarre because Jackie talked about wanting a good man to be like good to her and do all these things. And Josh was not doing those things. And Josh tried to manipulate her in the pods to make sure that he would stay. And then it was like, okay, she ended up with Marshall. She's not even really attracted to this man, even though she kind of said she was. And then she said she's going to marry this man. And then she just doesn't show up to the dress appointment. And they have this huge argument. All this stuff is going on. And, I could tell that she wanted Josh more. Josh was more her type, like fire is what she's used to. Mm-hmm. I think they're still together, actually. So spoiler, obviously,
what?
Jackie and Marshall do not work out. They have a huge fight. Marshall also seemed to be on this like Captain Save-A-Ho kind of vibes. And he felt like he was kind of also not a right fit for her because he thought that he was better than her in a sense, like because he was more emotionally regulated, I will say, not because he's a bad person, but because he does that thing that a lot of guys do where they're like, well, I have my stuff together, like emotionally, and like you're a mess. And so it's my job to fix you.
You know,
and
I'm not, and
I'm being cordial. I'm being kind. I'm being great by choosing to be with somebody as messed up as you, kind of thing.
You know what? You're absolutely right, because he kept bringing up like, oh, like you say you want a man who's this, you want to be this, you want to be this. And he's there like, and I think he was there to try and like prove a point, to be like, he can be that person for her. He can be that person to help her change, which it's like, if you have to inspire someone to change, maybe you shouldn't be with that person, because why would they need to, if you really love them, why would they change? You know, like, why would you want them to change? So, but she was definitely wrong, because she was like, yeah, I want a good man. And then like she got somebody who was treating her well, and she was like, I want you to throw me around. And it was like, whoa, what? Like,
yeah, it was like, wait a minute, whoa, what is happening here? You want him to abuse you?
Exactly.
And it was like actually abuse, but it was,
but like, it was low-key, like she was hinting to that, and it was like, girl, like calm down, you know, like you can just talk about your feelings with somebody and not have them yell at you or throw you around. Or I felt sorry for her, really, because like she was like, oh, I just want a man who can like take control and, you know, take control of me and da 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 da. And it was like,
and well, she called him gay. She called him gay because he was too nice. I remember that too. Nice,
because he wasn't aggressive, because he wasn't initiating sex all the time. And for me, I'm like, girl, if you want some, just initiate. Like, we're grown. We're grown. That's your man. If you want some, just initiate. What's wrong? Also, sex is not everything, girl. Come on.
Patriarchy ruins everything for everyone, which is why I'm glad that we got that whole drama out of the way so we can talk about Tiffany and Brett. Whose biggest problem was that Brett is a perfectionist when it comes to his attire. Yes. And he's a great photographer. I give him that. He took some great photos of Tiffany. Their connection in the pods was giving like Lauren and Cameron. And I love to see it, because it was obvious from the very beginning that how well they matched each other, how equally yoked they were. And so then I will say that the highlight, of course, of their entire relationship is the whole my pants don't fit right. We got to go to the dressmaker on my wedding day.
Yo, he picked up a fuss. He was like, this is not how it's supposed to be. Like, that was the biggest drama, was that his pants didn't fit like they were supposed to. But I love that, though. I love that. I definitely feel like Tiffany and Brett were equally matched. I definitely feel like they're an example of two black people who know each other, who knew like themselves, who knew what they wanted, who knew exactly what they wanted, who knew like what, like they had found it, you know, and were willing to make it work. So I think Brett was also living in Portland, right?
Yeah, and moved.
Tiffany was in Seattle, she moved in with him. Yeah, yeah, so like even though like they were in separate places, they made it work. You know, I was really impressed with Brett's like closet and how like neat he was and kept everything. Yeah,
that man must be a Virgo, I swear to God. Also, can we talk about the fact that this is set in Seattle, but somehow nobody except for like I think Chelsea and one other person lived in Seattle, everybody else lived elsewhere? Because Michael lived in fucking Arizona.
Yeah. But I think like, she had like family in Seattle or
Portland, and Kwame lived in Portland. Brett lived in Portland. I think Chelsea's the only one for sure, like, was, like, for sure a Seattle person. But, you know, I digress. It's fine.
Maybe the pickings in Seattle were just that slim. I don't know. Sure
we're going to see something similar with D.C. because they were having hella issues casting in D.C. But also it's, like, D.C. is a city of security clearance. Why would I go on a reality TV show and fuck up my security clearance?
That's true. I'm still excited for D.C., waiting for that to come out.
yes. So since we're excited, let's be bored for a second. The perfect match. We tried to watch it. We recorded a whole episode about this show, and Lex and I never finished watching it, and then we never released the episode because we were both talking about how bored we were by the show.
It was so boring. I barely remember what happened. What was the premise of the show was you went to find your perfect match or whatever. What happened? Like, I forget what happened. I just remember it being like one of those super strategic. It was supposed to be a dating show, and it ended up being like super strategic. Like people had coming in with strategy and shit. Yeah, and it was like
there's a lot of strategy involved. It had like people from like variety of Netflix reality shows. Yeah. So you had Dom, who was like TikTok famous, but he was also on that one with the map. But you know that Uncharted one. Oh, you watched it.
Yeah. I remember. Damn.
The Mole? Not The Mole.
The Mole. Yeah.
Is it The Mole? Okay. Yeah. So you watched that one. Then it also had Damien from Love is Blind season one from Damien and Giannina fame. Oh, yeah. Giannina and Blake are engaged, aren't they?
Who? Oh, Giannina and Blake.
Ooh. Blake Hortzman from Becca season. We have the podcast now. They've been dating since they did that reality show together.
Oh, yes. They're engaged.
I think they're engaged. Yeah. Anyway.
Blake.
No, Blake from Becca season.
Okay, I have to look up.
He was in Becca's like final four. But yeah, a whole thing. So Damien's on there. Apparently Damien and Francesca had a thing.
Yeah,
Francesca was dating Dom at the time. It turned into chaos. It was chaotic.
It was that I just really didn't care about for some reason. Like, and it's not like I didn't care about these people. Like, I like watching Francesca. I liked Dom on The Mole.
Damien, I liked Joey from The Circle. He was the first one Joey, in The Circle, you know?
Damien was entertaining on Love is Blind. Like, you know, these are all people I cared about. But for some reason, this show is just so boring.
The show was not hitting.
It was not. So I highly doubt they'll make another one.
You know what they should make? Fucking Dating Around. I'm so sick and tired of them making every fucking show except for Dating Around.
There needs to be a Dating Around for every single city in the States. Every single city, every single country. Please. Please. Let's just.
And that is actually the one show that I would go on. I would go on Dating Around.
Me too. That's the one show that I would do. You know, just one episode, like go on all these dates. Live my life, like, you know, no host, no narrator, no real, nothing, just real life, you know? Anyway, Netflix, hello.
Is the mic on?
when is dating around coming back, all right? But, you know, one show we did watch, I watched recently and enjoyed, y'all watched way before me and enjoyed, The Ultimatum, the queer?
Yes. What did I tell you, Lex? Shouldn't this show always be gay?
It should. It makes more sense. It makes more sense as like to have queer couples on this show than straight couples. So when I heard about it, I was telling Jen, like, I thought it was gay men. And I was like, I don't know. For some reason, I just wasn't as interested. I was just like, eh. But then I saw it was woman and I was like, oh, it's drama.
We're here for it.
Bring on the drama. Let's do it. And it was definitely drama. I don't remember anybody's name. Oh, I do remember. There was Xander, and what was Xander's girlfriend's name again?
Vanessa.
Vanessa?
Yeah.
Whatever, the influencer. What crazy. She was a bit like, I'm like, it was giving narcissist to me, not Xander, her girlfriend. It was giving narcissist, honestly. Like, she seemed so, like, toxic to me. But their situation just seemed toxic to me.
Yeah.
Like, in general.
Their situation, I think, is one of those things, like, where you grew up with somebody. Because, you know, in high school, they dated boy best friends. Like, they were friends who dated boys together kind of thing. And so discovering that they're both queer later in life and, like, having that tie to, like, your past in a certain way, I think that there was a lot of stiflement in the relationship. There's not a lot of room for growth. Mm-hmm. And so there is that. The other thing to mention is that Vanessa's an influencer, yes, but Xander was an influencer with them. They had a couples channel together.
Oh, what? Channel.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
So Xander had like a full-time job, but Vanessa and Xander, her branding was a couples thing. It was a couples travel channel, I believe. I did some digging after the show was over because I was a little nosy. But also, I will say that Vanessa truly redeemed herself. I think that watching the show and then watching the reunion, you kind of saw that Vanessa really was just not a narcissist. She's like really fucking awkward and uncomfortable. And so she's playing a role. And like when I met her dad, I was like, oh, she's trying to be her dad. Like she's trying so hard to be just like her dad, not that kind of like laissez-faire, fancy-free, whatever. Mm-hmm. But she's not old enough to be able to like regulate her shit. Mm-hmm. So like even the dad was just kind of like, girl, you're spazzing. Like you need to chill out kind of thing. And so I could see that it was very much like putting on a persona. But like at the reunion, I never thought that I'd be a Vanessa fan, but I am. After the reunion, I was definitely a Vanessa fan. So
I was, after the reunion, I was like, okay, I'm glad she realized that they just weren't good for each other, and she was just like, yeah, I wish you the best, like, but no, like, we'll always be friends, but no, like, not for me. And I was like, good, because that was not working out, girl.
Not working out. Ray and Lexi were another couple.
Yeah, they were kind of
Lexi is very, very strong personality. Mm-hmm. And I cannot imagine Ray being able to manage that long term. I mean, that's why they're broken up now. So
they broke up.
They got engaged, and then they're broken up, and Lexi has a new girlfriend. It's very much like more in her style.
Yeah.
And like when you talk to Lexi after the show, she was like, I didn't really want to be wearing those dresses and stuff. I just thought I had to. Like, you could tell she couldn't walk in heels. That's not her personality. That's not who she is. But right. they like put on this persona, this version of themselves, like on the show. It's kind of like, this is not truly who I am. And then I'm pretty sure Lexi went through her Saturn return. Like, this is definitely not who I am. I need to do something about that shit.
Yeah, they to me definitely didn't seem like a match. Lexi seemed to me more like more controlling, more grounded, like very earth energy for the astrology people out there. And Ray was more like, let's see. I don't know. Do I want to be in a relationship? Do I want to get married? I don't know.
Ray
and
it was felt like a Cancer. I felt like a Cancer woman crying all the fucking time. That's what it felt like.
Really? You thought she was crying all the time? I didn't. Was she crying? Wasn't she? Didn't she sleep with Vanessa?
Okay. So Fingergate, as Vanessa called it, did happen. And I think that it was just the kind of situation where all the women went on the show kind of trying to be like, we're not going to do this on camera. And I think, like, for Lexi and Ray specifically, they had a conversation like, we're not going to do this on camera. And then turned out you fucking went and did this on camera. And that's a lie. Yeah. So yeah. I can see why Lexi was upset, especially considering how much younger she is. And all younger means younger than we are.
This is the kind of thing
that we would also find very dramatic in our early 20s. So it's like that. So I give them that. But I'm glad that they're not together anymore, because even though I thought that they were good people, they're just not a good couple.
No.
And then Mal and whatchamacallit, Yoli. Oh, fuck Yoli, man. Yoli, Xander, Mal, Vanessa thing. That's Girl. Also why I was on Vanessa's side, because when Vanessa brought up the fact that Yoli and Xander were trying to go visit each other while Xander and Vanessa were trying to work things out, and while Yoli and Mal were supposedly together, it was like...
But
then Yoli tried to be like, oh, do you feel better like bringing that up? And I said, like, bitch, she's not lying. I can tell by how you're talking.
But for everything they brought up, Yoli was like, I don't remember that. I don't remember. I didn't say I was going to visit that. And then they were like, yeah, you said, hey, I want to come visit. And she's like, oh. I was like, girl, you remembered. You remembered. You just chose.
It was just a casual conversation. It didn't mean anything. Yoli, you lie. You lie. You lie. You lie.
Girl. Yo, I did not like her. And the thing is, from the beginning, Mal was like, yeah, I like her, but I just don't know if she's for me, because she falls in love with everybody. So this to me seemed like a legit test to see, like, you know, if she would she just fall in love with anybody? Turns out, yes. She does.
It felt like a real thing. Yeah. Money was a factor. It felt like a real thing where Mal was just kind of like, Yoli is my person, but I don't know if I am her person or she just wants to be engaged or she just wants to be married.
Right.
And I felt that really deeply.
Or she just wants to have kids.
Yeah.
But to me, it seems like she just wanted to have kids with somebody who had money. Mm-hmm. Didn't really matter who. It was just like, as long as they could pay for, you know, IVF, like, she was cool. And I'm so happy, like, her true colors came out, because Mal seemed like such a great person. And I'm, like, happy that she could move on and find somebody who's really about her, you know?
Mal was just kind of like, listen, Mal's expressions were giving Marshall's expressions. And Marshall, by the way, is Justin from Katie Season's cousin. So Marshall Glaze and Justin Glaze are cousins. So the facial expressions that all three of them had, I think they're all actually Virgos, actually. I'm really thinking about it. Right? So that's really funny. So who else is there to talk about? Of course, you know, Tiff and Mildred.
Yes.
And then Austin and Sam, Aussie and Sam. Aussie and Sam, again, Aussie has severe trauma that they need to work through. And I think that Sam understands that. And that is why Sam has not pushed them past a certain point. Because Sam is aware of, it's obvious based on how Aussie communicates and Aussie having to deal with Mildred and all that stuff, that Aussie has been through a very severely abusive relationship with their family. Like, it's super obvious, because even when you meet Aussie's brother, and the brother was kind of like, yeah, Aussie looked out for us, all this stuff, whatever, whatever. Our parents are terrible. And I'm like, okay, they're definitely abused the fuck out of these kids. Aussie is like severe PTSD and trauma from this thing that they are obviously working through. They can't take talking to a certain way. The having to flee situations when, you know, things are getting too intense, because, like, obviously in their household, shit didn't go either way if things are that intense.
Shit is popping off.
I get it. So Aussie and Sam, they got engaged and they're still together. They reactivated couples channel as well. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. I didn't know that. I definitely thought Sam was good for her because she was so patient.
Aussie is a they. Aussie's an Aussie. So Aussie is not a she, her. Aussie's an Aussie. Aussie's pronoun is Aussie, but we go with they.
Okay. But Sam was so patient with Aussie. Like, it was like, yeah, like, because nobody, like, what, who was the other? Mildred? Was it Mildred?
Mildred did not have the patience.
I don't think anybody else had the patience, but Sam was so patient, so kind, so, like, understanding. It was like, whoa, like, I really hope Aussie knows what Aussie has with Sam. Like, I really hope she does, because anybody else would have been like, I'm out, you know? They would have been like, yo, like, this is a lot. I'm out. But Sam was so patient. And I was like, I really hope the best for them. And I hope they, you know, make it.
Yeah, for sure. But Mildred, she belongs in jail for being a domestic abuser. Like, I'm Mildred. Just saying. What Tiff's happened? Tiff's partner. When Mildred threw the shit at Tiff in the house, like, in a fight.
Which one's Tiff and which one's Mildred? Wait, Mildred?
Mildred is the one that was with Aussie. And the trial marriage. Tiff is the butch with a dog that Sam was with.
Yes, with the dog. Yes. And that was weird.
It's also obvious. No, but it's also obvious that Tiff was being emotionally abused by Mildred. I don't know about physically, but definitely emotionally.
Yo, they were definitely not a match. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Not a match. They were the ones whose therapist gave up on them, right?
Yeah.
Their therapist was like, yeah, their therapist dumped them. And I was like, yo, if that's not a sign...
For me, I think that we all thought that Tiff was the problem based on how the reaction with the dog thing was big for Tiff. But I think that that is also a trauma response because of how Mildred – and we saw it at the reunion with how Mildred talked to them, how all that stuff was going on. I was like, oh, this is literally PTSD, trauma. This is having to defend it all the time. And so watching Tiff's video talking about everything after the show – really just sealed everything that I just said. I was like, oh yeah,
In the beginning, I definitely thought Tiff was the problem. But then at the reunion, I was like, wait a minute, Mildred's toxic. Like, it's so toxic as hell. Though I'm sorry though, when Tiff was like, Sam was like, what do you want from me? And Tiff's like, I need you to love my dog. Like, it's, you know, yours. And Sam's like, yeah, I'm doing that. Like, how else can I do that? But I feel like it's because, Mildred probably just didn't give a fuck, you know?
Mildred's uses the dog against Tiff. Yeah. I think that that's the thing. And I think the dog is like a very much a comfort animal for Tiff. Mm-hmm. And so Sam being like, I don't want the dog in bed felt like a bigger rejection than it would have in another situation.
Right. So they're broken up though, right? Mildred and Tiff are broken up.
Oh yeah, no, they've been broken up since that devious. They've been broken up and they don't need to be together ever again.
No.
So the only couple still together is Aussie and Sam. Keeping it saucy. That's their Instagram name. So
keeping it saucy. Oh my God, that's so cute.
That's what I think too.
That's updates on, that's pretty much everything.
Yeah, that's the big in-depth stuff. So we already are over our time. We tried, but we're already over our time because there's so much to talk about. So let's do brief other stuff that I can think about right quick. So charity season is happening. Just had fantasy suites or the final three, you know, last night. Wait, today's Tuesday, right? Yeah, last night was that. This episode drops on Thursday. If I can get it edited, if I can get my computer stuff sorted out, it'll happen. So apparently she had to send a fan favorite home. We talked about cheating on an ex multiple times. So many shit is happening in this season, apparently. I mean, Charity is the second monoracial Black Bachelorette in the franchise history. So, but Charity's also, I think, a therapist. And so that kind of also shapes their communication stuff that happens.
Oh, which is great.
Yeah, it is great. It's interesting. I haven't watched the season yet. I don't know if I am going to, but I am keeping on top of the posts about it and kind of seeing what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm rooting for Black Love to win this one because there is a monoracial Black man who is in the final two now. I hope he wins.
Yeah, so my friend was telling me, the final three was two Black men and a white man. And I was like, oh,
yeah. Really? Yep.
I was not expecting that.
Monoracial black men at that. Not biracial. Yeah. Monoracial black men.
Yeah. I was not expecting that. I was definitely expecting her to have a final four of snowy white men. But, you know, you live and you get surprised sometimes.
And her final, the guy I think she's going to pick, he's Nigerian.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. That would be a first if she picks him, right? First Nigerian.
He'll be the first full-blooded.
Yeah.
Isn't Nate also from Nigerian descent?
Oh, yeah. But, you know,
He's biracial.
As they love to say, biracial. I'm not black, I'm biracial.
No. Nate has never said that, though. I've never heard him say that, just to be clear. No. But yeah.
I know, but, you know, there are some people out there. Or, like, you know, when I would say, I just remember from Twitter when I would say black men, people would be like, they're not black, they're biracial. So they're black. Basically.
If the one drop rule applies, it applies all the way throughout. Just saying.
Exactly. So they're black. I'm like, why you keep talking about a black Final Four? They're biracial. They're black. Okay. Anyway.
Leave these brown men alone.
Exactly.
So that's all I have, really. I mean, I just came back from vacation with my family in Antigua, which is Lex's home country. It was fun. I'm handy capable right now. I am injured, which y'all know based on our Instagram posts. I'm recovering pretty well. I've graduated from crutches to a walking boot and cane. Yay. And now I'm on the cane with a different kind of support device. So, you know, I'll be back at it in no time. Yay. In theory.
Yay. But yes, rest up. As for me, you know, I'm just living my life in Colombia. Oh, I'm a DJ now, y'all. In case y'all don't follow me on Instagram, I'm a DJ now. So I went from designer to writer to businesswoman. Now I'm DJing. If that changes, don't be surprised. Okay. So that's that for me. Also, I wanted to talk about, you know, in case for the people. So, you know, the actors are on strike. Sorry, y'all. I'm saying, you know, a lot. I just realized that. But, you know, there's a strike happening. So if you want to watch some content that has absolutely nothing to do with that and is still great and stars black people, it just happens to be digital. There's this great sim series on the YouTube called Breakout. There's only like 3 episodes out, but it's so good. It's so good you forget that it's a sim series. Honestly, look out Breakout on The Sims. It's about this girl who is just, who's an influencer. She's just starting her actor career. And her brother, who just got drafted to the NBA and is about their lives, just breaking out into the stars that they are. Very great, great, wonderful black show starring black characters in this beautiful, bougie black LA world. If you want to watch it, if you're interested, go ahead. Watch it, you know.
She does mean The Sims, by the way. She's not actually lying. She means
The Sims. It's like there are lots of Sims creators. Y'all know. If y'all know, y'all know, right? If you don't know, get into it, okay? And then, yeah, I think that might be it for me. What about you?
Yeah, I think there's nothing else really going on for me too. Like I said, you know, I'm off work. I'm trying to, you know, in my house. I lost my laptop charger, so I'm just waiting for a borrowed one till I can get mine back, because I'm supposed to get mine back next week. So I'm struggling to do work in my many jobs without a laptop, using my age and old Dell to do things, which, I don't know if you know this, not the wave. But that's all really with me. I just be out here doing nothing, recovering, hobbling around on my cane. Like, that's about it.
Why you sound like an old lady with your cane?
I literally have a cane. I literally have to use a cane. I can't walk unaided. I mean that.
With your cane and your old PC, and I'm like, damn, Jan, you need.
I need some enrichment.
You got some grandchildren.
Can somebody win these Mega Millions and come take care of me? Cause damn, girl, I need it.
Girl, same.
The earth is on fire, and the only thing that will make me feel better is for someone to foot my Uber Eats bill. Thank you.
Right? I'm here like, damn, I'm going to have to get a job. I'm probably going to get a job. So wish me luck, y'all. I'm back to the corporate life for me.
We'll be figuring it out, and we'll be updating you as we go along. But is that all for you, Lex? I think that's all for me. Yes. I got nothing else going on.
Yes. Take us out, Jen.
Thank you so much for rocking with us on this shorter episode. Not the time length we hope for, but close enough. We're only off by about 10 minutes or so. But that's all right. I'm Jen. She's Lex. We are your Bachelorettes. Catch you, in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We're doing it every 2 weeks instead of weekly now.
Catch you next time, y'all. Bye.
Bye.